faith is challenged. You know, we all go through life's tests. And I know that many of us never like any tests in life. Sometimes we used to talk about problems in life as a component of tests. However, sometimes we look at sufferings as another aspect of tests. Anything that runs against the grain and doesn't seem to be within our favor, we take it as test. True enough, someone said that his name is Vermont Law. He said, experience is the worst teacher. It gives the test first before presenting the lesson. And it's so true. When we go through the life's test, we don't even know what that lesson actually is all about. But we had to go through that test. And we finally, gradually, after going through all the difficulties, then we finally saw the jigsaw puzzle, pieces by pieces, putting it all together, and we discovered them as God's lesson. Today I want to share with you about this great man by the name of Abraham. Looking at Genesis 22, verse 1 to 5, allow me to read to you and you can follow through with me on the slide. Abraham here has been tested. He was given the promise. Isaac was the promise. And finally, this is what happened. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I, or here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. In this passage, we see Abraham is truly being challenged. It's a very hard thing. God has given Abraham this promised son called Isaac. And it's inconceivable for God to command Abraham and say, now take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering. It's like an impossible, a very unreasonable, and the most illogical demand. Nonetheless, something that staggers me was this, Abraham's unquestioning response. He did not even question God. Faith by itself, brothers and sisters, is a challenge. Every day when you look into your life, whatever you do, when there is something beyond your human limitation, we said we need faith because it's beyond us. And when we look at that, we say, wow, how much faith do I need to go through that? Faith is a great challenge. It's like climbing a mountain. When you climb a mountain, it is very tedious, it's very tiring, but it requires perseverance. And at the same time, that bone-chilling fear of that gravity as you are climbing the mountain. Brothers and sisters in the Lord and friends, when you climb the mountain, it possesses an adventurous spirit. Likewise, faith requires a proactive spirit. It requires an active part in our lives. You cannot sit back and look around and say that you have faith. Faith is a proactive aspect of our lives. So in this very evening, we need to go through that journey of faith with Abraham. There is danger and there is risk. But come along with me to understand a lot of great lessons we can learn from Abraham's life here. Based on the history, God has first commanded Abraham to leave his hometown Ur. That means he has to leave his relatives, he has to leave his father's house, And God also stripped Abraham from a lot of schemes and also a lot of efforts trying to fulfill God's promise by his own strength. Brothers and sisters, that was the apex of his problem. He got himself involved with the servant Hagar and produces a child called Ishmael. Subsequently, because there was such a chaos and problems and commotion in the home, he had to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And Abraham thought this is a peaceful moment in Beersheba. He thought that's the end of the test of his life. Surprisingly, as he was just rejoicing over Isaac when he was growing up, suddenly God called him and gave this shocking news. The Bible says, God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham. We never like that word because a lot of us do not like the test. I remember reading the article that is in England. A Korean lady was taking her driving test for 5 times. How do you like that? She took for 5 times, and this time she got so annoyed, she was so frustrated, she prepared what would Chinese call ang pao, red packet. She put 500 pounds inside the red packet, and as she was sitting inside the car, she shoved it to the tester, and then the tester was wondering what was happening. He says, it's for your own good and for my own good as well. And so she went to take a test, and the instructor or the tester doesn't even know what was going on. He left that red packet aside. And as she was driving, again the instructor failed her and said, let's stop from now. She got so angry, she pushed this instructor right to the end of the other side and wanting to punch him because she was so angry. Now, when I think about that, here she was trying to bribe her way through. At the same time, when she failed again, she was angry. A lot of us can identify that issue. A lot of us do not like the test. A lot of us do not want to go through that test. But here, Abraham, the Lord said, God tested him. And what a test. He said, now take your son, your only promised son. Isaac was conceived and born as a result of God's promise. It was a miraculous conception. Why? Because Abraham was too old. I mean, can you imagine a 90-over-year-old woman giving birth? I mean, giving birth needs a lot of strength. Women, are you here? You know what I'm talking about. And 90-over-year-old woman had to give birth. So, Jonathan, don't wait too long. So, God gave Abraham Isaac. And all of a sudden, right now, God says, I'm going to take him back. This is crazy. This is an extreme contradiction. How can you say you gave me the promised son whom I will have my inheritance spread out and now you say you're going to take him back? It was an extreme contradiction. Both husband and wife, Abraham and Sarai, waited for 25 years for this child to come. And then now God requires the child's life. This is not about unfair. This is not about injustice. In our terminology, in a human point of view, we will all call it unfair. But God called it a test of your faith. A test of your faith. Listen, brothers and sisters, God never asks for that which means little to us. We know that every good gift comes from God. Can I hear an amen? And here we know that every time when we wait for the Lord to give us something good, such as our spouse or wanting to get married, praise God, amen. Having children, wanting to have children, having a good income, wanting to have a job, wanting to have a good car, a good house, a good vacation. Perhaps some of you may want to have a good romance. Some of us may be looking for a good building. a good house, a good reputation to establish. And when the time came and you establish and you happen to receive them, you feel so good, you feel so comfortable. In fact, you feel so saved. And all of a sudden, after all the sense of security and achievement, the Lord asks for it back. God never asks for that which means little to us. What happens when God wants them back? It's very hard sometimes to give up someone or something we love. Can be the hardest test of our faith. It's a hard challenge. The exquisite side of this challenge is this. Isaac is a typology of Jesus Christ. The perplexity in God's command is now unraveled simply to show you the heartbeat of the Father. You must remember, it was also hard for the Father to send His only begotten Son to die for us. It was so hard, I would picture from my human point of view. But before this revelation of God sending His Son to die for us, now the Father, the Abraham as a father, he has to release his son. And because God asked for his son, whom he loved, to be sacrificed. As I was just thinking aloud, do you know when you read the Bible, you ask questions? And I began to realize the word sacrifice. He has to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. He has to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. Burnt offering is another aspect of devotional offering. And here, I realized Abraham was very familiar with sacrifice. He was so familiar, if you read through many of his events, in Genesis chapter 12 onwards, he offered offerings, he had altar been set up. It began to show me that God, or rather Abraham, is so familiar with the offerings and sacrifices. You know, Abraham knew the importance of sacrifices. He did not even question God. And I always wondering how come. And there is an extra information for us found in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 21. I'll read it to you. It says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Now, this is what you should remember. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." It was the sacrifice that he could smell the fragrance, and he began to establish and said, "The favor shall come upon the land." So Abraham was at the same time knew the importance of the sacrifice. That the sacrifice will be a fragrance to the Lord. And he knew that God is going to do supernatural in his son's life. He's expecting resurrection. And that's the reason why he was willing to offer. Brothers and sisters, sacrifices evoke God's favor. Sacrifices evoke God's favor. I want you to see the next part of the challenge is this. The faith is challenged to reveal the Father's heart. Abraham's love is for his son is a pale shadow to the Father's or God's love for his son. If you read back that incident of Abraham's life, it is also recorded in Hebrew chapter 11, 17, verse 19. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Read carefully. Notice something. The word received the promises and was about to sacrifice. He received the promises and about to sacrifice. I repeat, received the promises and about to sacrifice. It was not the other way around. He didn't say, "When you sacrifice, I give you the promise." Brothers and sisters, God has given us the promise. to look at the word again. Receive the promise. We did not achieve the promise yet. In order to see that the promises of God being achieved, we need to sacrifice. You receive the promise and then offered sacrifice. In order to see the promise turn into a reality, we need to make that sacrifice. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, yes, he did. The scripture tells me about the father's heart. It doesn't report that Abraham wrestled with God over all of these things. It doesn't show him questioning God at all. You know what the Bible says? Everybody know this scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We stop there for a moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Brothers and sisters, it is out of love that God made the sacrifice. We have the promise. We were given the promise. But God is looking at the part where we are willing to make the sacrifice. And if you are willing to make the sacrifice, then that sacrifice must be motivated by love. That's what God is showing us here. The Father's heart is clearly revealed that sacrifices is accepted when it is done and motivated by love. Look at the scripture carefully in Genesis 22 once again. The Bible says Abraham rose early in the morning. He received the instruction and he rose early in the morning. There's no question against God. He just simply rose up early in the morning. What does it mean here? Abraham doesn't hesitate. Abraham doesn't hesitate. He made a very quick response because of the kind of faith he had. Now, brothers and sisters, notice this. When he wants to see God's miraculous provision, he quickly responds because he knew that God is going to do something supernatural. He doesn't know what's going to take place, but he knew something because that's his faith. He couldn't comprehend completely, but in his faith, he knew God will supply. God will provide. God will raise his son up. That was what he was expecting. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us figuratively he was expecting that God is going to raise Isaac. And that was exactly what he expected. Brothers and sisters, when you know and you want to see God's miraculous provision, many a time we hesitate simply because we did not have that beliefs. Do you remember the gospel wrote about the four friends who carried the paralytic man? And what happened? They carried him because they heard Jesus was in that house. He was teaching. He was preaching. And they wanted to go over to let Jesus touch this man. They believed that this man can be healed because they heard the report that Jesus is a miraculous healer. But then the problem is they had to break through the thick crowd. The crowd was there. It was an impediment for them to go into the house. So they did not stop there and say, man, looks like we got to come back tomorrow because the place is too packed now. I don't think we can get through. No, what did the Bible say? They find ways to get him inside. They went straight right to the flat roof of the Jewish house. They cleared up some clear inside from on the top of the house. And they lowered him right where Jesus was standing. They found an option. They knew that in order to get hold of the miraculous provision of God, they got to respond quickly. They got to say, I need to do something about it. Many of us, we never had the opportunity to experience God's miraculous provision because we hesitated. Probably next time. No worries. Next time. I'm sure God understands. But it's not that. God is looking for one who says, God, is this what you want? Abraham, early the next day, early in the morning the next day, He got up, packed up all his things, cut some wood, put it on a donkey, put the kid on the saddle, and they walked with the servants. And the Bible says 3 days later, remember, 3 days later, he was asked to go to the region Moriah. We took them 3 days' journey. Some of us, 4 hours. Ah, so far. 6 hours. Oh, man. 3 days' journey. And Abraham did that. He walked. Brothers and sisters, Abraham's faith shows us that he did not hesitate. Another aspect that we can learn is Abraham's faith was challenged to show us the meaning of faith. The meaning here shows that trusting in God, despite the evidence pointing contrary, involves obedience. I'm sure you're aware that God has given promises after promises to Abraham about his son more than once. Abraham and Sarah took the matter in their own hands, and they failed God in that sense, but yet, listen carefully, God did not accuse him. God did not renege. He did not break his promise. He simply said, this child won't be your heir. You will have a son by Sarah. When God said that, what was Abraham's response? He laughed. When he laughed his heart out. Sarah also laughed. God said, fine, you laugh. When your son come up, you better call him Laughter. And God told Abraham that through this Isaac, you're going to have a great nation. A great nation. And you know something? The moment when God said, I'm going to take your son back, I don't think Abraham could laugh anymore. Something is seriously not right. This is the only source to God's promise. And God says, I'm going to take him away. That doesn't sound right. Brothers and sisters, how many of you know that not every time when it doesn't sound right, it's not right? It may not sound right to you, but it doesn't mean it's not right. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says Jesus loves us while we were yet sinners. That doesn't sound right. Isn't it true? While we were still sinning, how could Jesus love me? I've been away from the Lord. I've sinned against God. I've done all the bad things, yet God still loves me. That doesn't sound right, but it's still the truth. And the Lord says in the gospel, says what? He says, if somebody slap you on one side, give him the other side. Am I right? That doesn't sound right. I know some of you, if somebody give you a slap on the left, you better give him back again, right? Eye for an eye, man. You pull my ear, I give you one teeth. That's what happens. You see, brothers and sisters, this is what you and I need to take note. It is very crucial that a lot of time we always think it doesn't sound right. That means it's not right. It's very sad. A lot of things that doesn't sound right, but it's always right because our faith is now challenged. And so Abraham went up to this mountain in Moriah. He got his son, and he told the servants, hey guys, you guys stay back. I and my son, we are going up. Listen carefully. He says, we are going up to worship. Do you know that the very first word worship is recorded here in this particular verse? This is the first worship ever mentioned in the Bible. And Abraham is going to worship God by offering his son. And so he went up. And he was binding his son on this particular place, and the pile of wood was right there ready to burn, and he was taking that knife ready to stab right into the chest. And before he could do that, the Lord's voice was heard. He said, stop! And Abraham saw all of a sudden, stop. He was initially expecting a resurrection for his son. But you know what? God gave him a substitution. And that substitution was a ram. And at this wake of the substitution, Abraham cried out the name of the Lord. And what did he call out? Jehovah Jireh. Oh, thank you. Jehovah Jireh, Lord God provides. And in that substitution, God was saying, I will provide. Even at a point of time when you do not know what's going to happen, you were expecting resurrection. But no, I will provide. Yes, I was testing your obedience, but at the end, it was not your son. I will provide. Just like Naomi. Naomi left his homeland, Bethlehem, and he went over to Moab. And when they went over to Moab, they thought, well, we're going to raise up our family there. He got two sons. And together with her husband, they were trying to raise up the family. The two sons married the Moabite women. And when they were having a family time, all of a sudden things began to happen. Misfortune crept into the home. The husband died. And then the two sons died. Oh man, she was turning to become a bitter woman. No wonder when she was about to leave, she was prepared to tell the people in the homeland, don't call me Naomi, the pleasant. Call me Mara, the bitter. She was bitter. Yes, there will be tests that will cause us to be bitter. But ultimately, you see, Naomi failed one aspect of her life. She tried to get Orpah back to Moabites. She tried to get Ruth back to the Moabites. But after much persuasion, Orpah went, but not Ruth. Ruth persists on. Ruth insists that I'm going to follow you. He said, your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. And she did not see that Ruth is the source of God's promise. And Naomi, ultimately in the story, she became the great-great-grandmother of King David. You and I may not see the promises of God fulfilled, but the Lord's name is Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Brothers and sisters, Abraham did not hold on to Isaac tightly because the Jehovah Jireh will provide. I do not know about you, but if you hold on tightly in your very hands right now, the very tightness you hold, I'm afraid sometime you may squeeze it so tight and kill your opportunity. At the same time, if you were to recollect this, if you were to hold on anything tightly, I'm afraid that thing is the one that controls you rather than you control the thing, because you're holding it too tightly. Can you actually keep those things when you are holding it too tightly? What are you holding today tightly? Are you holding your children tightly? Are you holding your career tightly? Are you holding your money tightly? Are you holding the tradition of the church tightly? Oh, there's only one tradition I will go. There's only one tradition I will be in. A lot of tradition is respected. I respect all different traditions. But what is more important is that Jesus Christ must be spoken and must be lived in, whatever tradition you may have. And that's exactly what God is saying. Abraham did not hold Isaac tightly. He knows how to let go. And because of that, he experienced the miraculous provision, the substitution. Some of us are holding too tightly. We could not let go. No wonder we kill our opportunity to experience the miraculous provision of God. Don't miss that out. Because the more you hold tightly, God cannot bless us. You got to learn to let go. And God will have His way to bless our hearts. You remember, Jesus whispered very clearly in His words. He says, if a man loves his father or mother or sister or brother more than me, he is not worthy of me. Now, some of us struggle with that verse. You mean God is asking me to hate my parents? No. He wants you to love your parents. The scripture said, if the children love the parents, they will have long life. Amen. He says, love the children, love your parents. Love them as much as you can. But what God is saying, as much as you love your parents, would you love less to God? In fact, you should love God more. Why more? Because of Him, you have your parents. Because of Him, you have your parents. And there's another verse in Luke chapter 7. And it says this in verse 42 to 43. I read in a King James Version, it says, "Tell me therefore," Jesus asked, "which of them will love him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "You are rightly judged." This passage was written because Jesus gave a parable. Two men owed another person, one with 50 and the other one was 5. And if they are forgiven, who will be forgiven most? Of course, the one who owes more will be forgiven most. And so Jesus said, "You judge correctly." The question was not which of them will love him. The question was, which of them will love him most? God is looking for more of that love. We love our parents. I love my parents. They passed away. But when it comes to Jesus, I love the Lord more. The more I loved him, the more I have the grace and the strength to love my parents even more. The more I loved him, I'm given the grace to nurture and help my parents to know Jesus and love the Lord. I've seen that. How my parents came to know Christ. Never forget what my mom, there's only one song that my mom could sing. Even though she was blind, she could only sing, "Jesus, I love you." She could only sing the song, "Jesus, I love you." And that's all she could. And that was the only song, and I guess it must be her own favorite song. The more I love the Lord, the more I have the ability to help others love God. And that's why Abraham received the miracle provision, because he let go of Isaac. This is a revelation also, brothers and sisters, that probably you did not see. And as I was reading it, something just struck me. Isaac was offered in the region of Mount Moriah, among one of the mountains in Moriah. And he was offered, but the sacrifice was not complete, compared to another person who was offered in another mountain, and it was a complete sacrifice. It's called Mount Calvary. That mountain, Jesus was offered and was sacrificed, and the sacrifice was a complete sacrifice. Here, Isaac was offered, but it was not a complete sacrifice. He was given a substitution. And when I was just reading these two mountains that we could literally see, I sense God was showing me why we have a lot of crisis, why we have a lot of social problems today. Why is it that Christians are not able to have a breakthrough in their lives? Because they're still standing on Mount Moriah, where there is an incomplete sacrifice. They are looking for the substitution. They are looking just for the Jehovah Jireh. They want that provision. They are just looking at that, but they were not able to have a breakthrough in their life, because here we have Mount Calvary, complete dedication of God, sacrifice his son, and here we have an atonement and redemption and salvation. When you have salvation, you have everything. And when the Lord said that when you believe in him, you will not perish but have eternal life. But today we have social problems, fighting after fighting, because people are still standing on an incomplete sacrifice. Until you stand in a complete sacrifice, we will not be able to see a mighty breakthrough in our lives. A complete redemption plan is in Mount Calvary, not in Mount Moriah. We need to have our faith that has been established here to move to this level of faith where Jesus died for our sins. That is a complete sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, I want to close this to let you see the incomplete offering at Mount Moriah does not offer a complete atonement, but the complete sacrifice on Mount Calvary offered a complete redemption plan. Today, the question, which mountain are we standing? Finally, I want to close with these 4 points that I recap in this area. Is when your faith is challenged, it is at this moment your faith calls for greater obedience. We never understand the test, but God is looking for obedience. And whosoever obey, you will have a better understanding of that test as you go through. When your faith is challenged, it is right here you get to see what truly matters in life. Which is more important? What are we holding on right now? Why are we holding on so dearly to us? We just sang the song, and there's one phrase in that song: earthly things make me dry. Earthly things. Why hold on to that so dearly? And for God, that ultimately it is our walk with the Lord that matters throughout our entire living. And thirdly, when your faith is challenged, we could see that God's ways are different. The tension between difficulty and different is so obvious. God's ways is not difficult, it's just different. We tend to interpret them and define them as difficult simply because our flesh could not understand the ways of God. It's not difficult. That's why it calls for obedience. And lastly, when our faith is challenged, the provision of God is much more meaningful. When God begins to provide, you begin to treasure the provision of God and say, oh Lord, truly, it is not by my works, it is not by my hands, it's by your grace, it's by your power. There is grace. And we need to understand that when grace begins to take place, the provision of God becomes very meaningful. The scriptures in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm sure a lot of us quote that scripture. You must understand the connection of this verse is actually about the financial support that the Philippian people were sending it to Paul for his mission ministry. And he was assuring them that your giving will never be of any lack. However, there is one crucial part I want to emphasize. He says, God will meet all your needs. Turn to your neighbor and say, all your needs. Come on. All your needs. And you know what? He says, meet all your needs according, take note of the word, according to his glorious riches. Brothers and sisters, how do I know what glorious riches is about here? Glorious riches in Christ. What is that? Glorious riches. I want to have all my needs met. Yes, yes, I want my needs met. But he says, according to his glorious riches. Man, I don't know what that glorious riches in Christ. So I asked the question. I said, Lord, show me what that glorious riches is all about. And the Lord brought me back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Then I realized that his glorious riches is in his kingdom. How can I have all my needs met unless and until I seek his kingdom? Faith is challenged, but it will never be lack of anything. God is ready to challenge our faith, but yet ultimately, when your faith is challenged, you will see the provision. And that's exactly what God did with Abraham. He told Abraham, stop. You don't have to stab your son. You don't have to kill. I have given you a substitution because I am Jehovah Jireh. Your faith may be challenged, but at the end of that challenge, there is the provision of God. You may go through some challenges and you may say, what's the purpose? What's the point? But walk through that challenge. Walk through the challenge and reach the other end of the tunnel and see that the provision was awaiting for you. God is truly our provider. Don't be afraid of the challenge. God will provide you a way. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Let's stand together right now. Praise.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us at PO Box 8013, Burwood Heights, Victoria by phone on 0410 985 432, or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.